Now we've got Veronica and Sue Ahern, that's you, talking about their respective walks. I think more about Sue's walk, I think, which is the most recent one. She's just still got sore feet. So they spent a little bit of time this afternoon chatting about the Camino and hopefully providing you some tips for those of you looking to do something similar.
Sue, it's great to have you back in the studio after 6 weeks in Europe. You've been to many places, but the one that really interests me is the Camino de Santiago in Spain, in northern Spain. Tell me about that.
Oh, it was fantastic. Absolutely amazing trip. I went with a group of the four of us, three friends, and we walked from Sarria to San Diego, which is about 126K. We did that over 5 days, so we averaged 28 to 30 was the longest in any one day.
That's
kilometres
a
day. Yes.
That is a lot of walking. How did you manage?
Well, my feet had great difficulty. Physically, I felt fine, and mentally, but my feet actually got really sore.
Why did you decide to go on that trip?
Well, that's an interesting one because it actually wasn't on my bucket list to do at all. But my friends, we went to Ireland for a week and then we had a week where we were trying to work out what we'd do next. And we had looked at a cruise and they said, well, let's go to the Camino. And then one of the group found a good package deal. So that's why we went.
So when you say a package deal, does that mean that you they got you by flight to where you started from? But what else was included?
Okay, so I flew from London to San Diego. We were picked up by bus and taken to Sarria. The package included all our accommodation, picking up and delivering our bags each day from the one hotel, moving to the next, all the arrangements. And it was beautifully done, very efficient, no problems at all. And then at the end, picking me up and taking me to the airport and the flight back to London.
Sue, that sounds like easy walking. You didn't even have to carry a backpack.
Oh, we had a small day pack just with water, hats, sunscreen, that sort of thing, but not, you know.
No luggage. No, that's the way to do it. And what about blisters? Did you get any blisters along the way?
I had a couple of little ones that started to come up, but I was pretty quickly dealt with those and had those new blister packs that are available.
Oh, right.
But if you've
those
come across
good.
Blister dressings are just amazing. You put them on when it first starts to niggle and just stops it from coming up. They are wonderful.
What about clothing? I mean, did you have to sort of carry layers with you or was the weather good?
No, the weather was pretty good. September's a good time to walk the Camino. So just leggings, really, and a T-shirt and a windbreaker. And, of course, being Australians, we've all got hats. Not everyone else had a hat, but we did. And that's basically it. And really good socks. You must have good socks. And, of course, the shoes are the most important thing. You've got to buy shoes 3 or 4 months beforehand, break them in, make sure your feet are comfortable, nothing's rubbing or pinching. Otherwise, you can't do it. You're walking such big distances, you've got to have really good shoes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, certainly you don't buy a new pair of shoes and start walking in them on the Camino.
Well, we saw people who did. It happens.
And they were hobbling along, I bet, by the end of it.
Oh, we saw one woman she had blisters on her feet that were as big as a golf ball. She could hardly hobble along.
Oh, that's hard. That's hard travelling. So when you were actually walking along, was it pretty boring or did you bring along music with you or how did you fill in the time?
Well, it's interesting because some people had headphones and music and other people were on their mobile phones. But one of the highlights is actually talking to other people because there are people from all over the world there. There are Americans and there are Irish people, there are Australians, from everywhere, and everyone talks, you know, where are you from, why are you here, what's your motivation for doing it, and you get to know all sorts of people, and you might only ever spend 5 minutes with them, and then you go on to the next lot of people, so it's always interesting, and of course, when you get to those really tough bits of the Camino where you're going up hills and it's hot, you just don't really feel like talking to too many people, you just... That effort to get up the hill keeps you going.
It sounds like a League of Nations and it also sounds like, as you say, there were some times when did you think of giving up?
Oh, about the third day when it was, 30 degrees and we were walking 30K, I got to the bottom of the hill and I thought, I don't know if I'm going to get to the top of that one. But you do, because you've got to do it. Otherwise, you know.
And there's so many other people around. They're all doing the same thing, aren't they? And some of them, and some people actually aren't really as able-bodied, are they?
No, I mean, there are a lot of people that, as you talk to them, you could find out that they were suffering from cancer or they'd had a bout of cancer or some illness or some other something in their personal life, and this was a big challenge for them to go and do the Camino and think about life. And it, you know, for some people it's a very spiritual thing, it's very religious. For me it was more of a challenge and an adventure, and that's what I really got out of it.
And it's a walk that's been done since the Middle Ages, isn't it? I mean, there were pilgrims who were going there to, what, in Santiago de Compostela it is, to go and see the bones of Saint James, who supposedly was buried there.
Yes, well, everyone, when you get to San Diego, that's the thing. You go to the square, everyone goes to the square, and there are thousands of people there. You see them holding their bikes up on high, and people are so happy that they've actually made it and got there. And then there's a big mass every day. I think it's about 1 o'clock, where a lot of people go to that, and, you know, it is a really special occasion.
Well, it's a great achievement for people, isn't it? And also there must have been a lot of little villages along the way that you stopped at, maybe?
Yes, you've got to stop for morning tea, afternoon tea, lunch, anything to break up the day as you go. So, and the food was fantastic. You know, lots of really good squid and calamari, that famous Spanish potato pie.
Mm-hmm, which is always delicious.
Lots of homemade cakes. Mm-hmm. You know, the food was terrific.
What about wine? Did they have any wine?
They did, actually.
Did they? And what about coffee? Good coffee?
Coffee? I'm not a coffee drinker, but it was my friends who drink coffee were quite happy. But some of the white wines were just delicious. Mm. We had quite a few of those.
They would have helped you along the way, I'll bet. Now, what about the villagers? Were they friendly?
Very friendly. And in that part of Spain is a very poor part of the country. Farming is really tough, and we saw some really rough farms. A lot of dairying in that area, and really rough. And, it's very hard living, I think, for people there.
So they really are struggling still, because, I mean, I guess with the global financial crisis, that was one of the places that was really hit the hardest, wasn't it?
Yes, well, you can still see that there. There are a lot of derelict buildings, a lot of empty houses, places for sale if you want to buy one when you're there.
And were you tempted?
Oh, they're beautiful stone buildings. They really are magnificent. I think there's 80,000 stone buildings on that, on the walk, that are of historical significance.
Yeah.
Some really old ones. You know, this date backs 1,000 years. So there are beautiful buildings along the way and lots of places to take photographs and
Yes, so certainly, as you say, when I said, oh, was it a boring walk, it certainly sounds as if it wasn't a boring walk.
No, and there were people selling souvenirs along the way. Not many, but there were a few. And there are other people selling fresh fruit or fresh raspberries and peaches, because we were there at harvest time and they were cutting all the maize and the corn crops and also selling peaches and raspberries just on the side of the road.
Oh, perfect time to go.
Beautiful time of the year to go.
And the weather, it really was good, was it?
Yes, every morning was very chilly and quite misty and very heavy dew. So it would be down to about 5 or 6 degrees. And then the haze would gradually lift and then it would get hot in the afternoon. And by about 3 or 4 o'clock, you're up into high 20s. Sometimes 30.
So it sounds as if you got up pretty early in the morning, did you?
Not as early as some. Some people leave at 5 o'clock and walk till 12. We were starting every day at 8 because we had breakfast as part of our package. So we'd walk at 8 and have morning tea at 10, lunch after 12, afternoon tea about 2.
So you wouldn't have actually put on any weight, but you could have eaten a lot along the way.
I think we ate and drank quite a bit.
And you walked it off.
I hope so. I'm still trying to decide if I should get back on the scales or not.
And what about the preparation for the walk? I mean, did most people prepare for it in advance, do you think? I mean, did you do much preparation?
Well, I'm pretty fit. I swim and walk every day, so I didn't do a lot of extra preparation, perhaps a few more walks and longer distance walks. But there were people that I was walking next to who'd spent a year preparing for it. So it just depends on your level of fitness where you are to start with.
Yeah, but there'd be no point in sort of starting to walk if you were unfit, because you wouldn't get very far.
No, not at all. But there are people that have walked, and I think you've done this yourself, walked 800 kilometres, which is...
Yes, but I did it a few years ago, and I was probably a lot fitter then. But and also I was walking with my sister, and we were sort of bonding, and that was terrific too. But as you say, it is a really, it can become a really, it's not a spiritual event, but it is something that, you know, really makes you turn into yourself and think about life. Did you find that?
Yes, because you spend a lot of time by yourself as well, because you're not always with someone else to walk and talk to. So there's that time by yourself as you try and make that extra hill to think about and reflect on life. But there were people there with small children in backpacks. Mm-hmm. There was one young woman who had an 18-month-old toddler in a backpack, and she was, I think she'd done 800K. Mm-hmm. People with dogs.
Yeah, that's right. I seem to remember I saw horses and I saw people, lots of cyclists.
Yes, there are a lot of cyclists, and I think a lot of the cycling clubs use the Camino as a track for their, especially at the weekend, they use it for their runs.
Is it a good way to sort of to see the countryside, do you think? I mean, is to get a really in touch with Spain?
I think so, yes, because, I mean, very few people speak English in the area where we were. So, and they're all eating the traditional food, living a traditional life. So you get in, you see all that, and you, you know, Camino is a very big tourist income for the local people. But you're savouring all their life as well.
Mm. I think I read somewhere where now 150,000 people go on the Camino every year. I mean, that's huge, isn't it?
It is, and I think more in those figures I was having a look myself, the growth every year is huge, so more and more people are going there, and it's predicted to keep growing.
And so it should, because, I mean, as you say, it's a real insight into other people's lives, into your own life, and, as you say, it also keeps you fit.
Yeah, well, I just think the social side of it was really outstanding, being able to talk to people from, you know, there were people beside us from Venezuela. I met some Irish women who might actually turn out to be some relations of mine just by flukish chance.
How did you find that out?
Well, they were in the same tour company, and we actually got all their tickets by mistake. They came to our bus, and I saw their surname on the tickets and questioned the tour company, and they, because I thought it was a mistake, and they said, no, the Ahern sisters are on the other bus. And I went and talked to them and found out we're both from the same village in Tipperary and probably related.
Oh, that is incredible. I'd say if it was from the same village, you certainly would be related. So are you going to keep in touch?
Yes, we are. We're keeping in touch and trying to work out when the family tree, but we're pretty sure it's the same line, because my great-great-great-grandfather came from Clonmel in Ireland in 1840, came to Australia, and his brothers, who they were descended from, some of them stayed in Ireland and some of them went to America.
Mm. Now, Sue, if you're going to give our listeners tips on what to do to go and prepare to go on a Camino walk, what were the major tips that you would give them?
Major tips, shoes. Don't go past shoes. You've got to get good shoes. Some people say you need boots, but the time of the year we went, I think shoes were fine. Yeah. And I mean, I had very good orthotics as well.
And you break the shoes in, obviously, well in advance.
Well in advance, yeah. You should be walking 6 months beforehand to make sure that your feet are not going to rub or pinch, or you're not going to have problems. And, you know, lacing them, how you lace your shoes is also important. And, of course, socks. You've got to have good socks.
Woolen ones,
not too thick. It's a personal preference, but I like woolen socks, and change them all the time. Take mm-hmm. quite a few pairs, so you can, as you're walking and you stop for morning tea and lunch,
change. Take
your shoes off, take your socks off and change them.
Yeah, that's very good advice. And clothing, as you said earlier, light clothing is all you really need, because you get very hot and sweaty as you walk along.
That's right.
Did you get any rain?
No rain at all. We had very heavy dew, which was almost like rain first thing in the morning, but then that cleared up after about half an hour.
And presumably a sun hat?
Of course. And lots of screen.
And lots of sunscreen. And preparing for it, as you say, get fit first so that you, as you say, you can really enjoy the walk.
Yes, because it's a wonderful thing to do, and it really is the most scenic, beautiful. You're going through these beautiful forests of actually eucalypts. So, you know, we Australians felt quite at home. And so there is a lot of shade as well. But and there are things going on all the time, whether it's people harvesting their crops or locals on their bikes and horses. Mm-hmm. And tractors and farm work all around you. So yeah. it is...
It's a busy time. What about the going either on a section of the Camino or doing the whole Camino? I mean, have you sort of thought, oh, maybe I'd like to go back and do a little bit more of it?
Yes, I would like to go, but I wouldn't do a package like we did this time because I think we walked too far each day. I think if you're walking 15 to 20 kilometres and taking it at a more leisurely pace and enjoying it more would be better.
And you take a different sort of section of it.
Yes, because, I mean, you can do it from France and Portugal and there are lots, you know, there are lots and lots of pilgrim paths all that lead to San Diego.
Yeah, that's right. No, that certainly sounds like a future holiday, Sue.
We'll see.
That was Veronica Matheson there speaking with colleague Sue Ahern, who's in the studio with me tonight, about her experience on the Camino de Santiago. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on J Air 87.8 FM.